Warning, this piece discusses sexual abuse in regards to young people. The Harmful Digital Communications Amendment Bill would amend the Harmful Digital Communications Act 2015 to make it illegal to post an intimate visual recording online without consent. Through the Nudie Project, Dr. Claire Meehan has researched the sharing of nude photos amongst teenagers and issues of consent and coercion. I spoke to Meehan about the bill and shifting the blame from victims of sexual abuse, particularly young women, both online and offline.
So I think before we begin, it's important to note the terminology that we use around this issue. So we often say revenge porn. Now, I get that revenge porn is catchy, but it is really important to be more accurate. So, for example, calling it image-based sexual abuse, that's a much more accurate description of what is happening. And as you can see throughout the bill, that is how it's referred to. I think we just tend to use the slang a bit more than we should. And we have to remember that the victims of this are victims of sexual abuse. They're not, it's not just an internet thing. By calling it revenge porn kind of indicates that it's something that it's not. Of course, you know, image-based sexual abuse is a gross violation of someone's right to privacy. So we should all be free to take and share these images with consent, but they shouldn't be distributed without consent. So the original Act, the 2015 Act, covers image-based sexual abuse as well as a number of other things. So the current Act has a strong emphasis on harm and distress. Now we know that these things are very hard to define, let alone measure. And it's worth bearing in mind also that people experience these differently. And some things may indicate, you know, distress, such as sick leave. That might not be accessible to everyone. So it's thinking about it in this way really does limit the law, and it also draws attention away from the victims and more onto the the harm to the victims rather than motives for the perpetrator. It makes it very difficult to prosecute and also difficult for victims to get images down off the internet. So we know with the new amendment we're moving from the focus on that problematic element of harm and distress more towards consent, which is very, very welcome. We, in removing this aspect, ultimately it makes taking down these images easier. And there are a few things, of course, and while I'm delighted to see this bill come, be passed, this bill be pushed forward, there are, of course, things that we can do beyond the legislation as well that I think is really important. Just how we think about it, how we term it, how we respond to victims, because at the minute it tends to be focused on blame and shame, which, you know, isn't helpful, and it's no wonder that this is such an underreported crime.
And then in your opinion, should this amendment have been included in the first Digital Communications Act in 2015?
Well, hindsight 2020, you know, it's, yes, it probably should have, but at that stage, I think everyone was trying to do as much as they could with an act that was really, really big. As I say, the Harmful Digital Communications Act doesn't just focus on image-based sexual abuse, it focuses on a whole category of issues that have, that are related to the internet. So while we can look back now and say, yes, it should have been, it was a little more difficult at that time, but I am really glad to see that it is being pushed forward now. And I think seeing the effect of the Act, knowing, you know, anecdotally how I have been working with people, both younger people and older people, who have been victimised in this way, and particularly for those who have been really distressed, but it may not have been how we think about it within a very kind of narrow medical framework. So, for example, anxiety or depression. I've had people telling me that it felt like the world is falling apart, or they're afraid to go outside in case they're recognised, or they're afraid to look at the phone in case, you know, they've been further exposed. So I think this bill is really, really important in that it encompasses a lot of those issues that we just didn't have space for before. So I think getting it in now is really, really timely.
And are you aware of any other countries that have passed similar legislation? And if so, has it been effective at reducing harm for victims?
So there have been a number of countries that have similar legislation. I'm thinking about particularly the UK, Scotland and Ireland. I think where we tend to differ is a lot of legislation sees this or puts it firmly within the framework of sexual assault or sexual offence. Our law is more to do with communication. I think this is a really, really important step. And we have seen a reduction in harm in other places, and I think and I hope that we will see the same here. I think that doing this is also symbolically really important as well, because it makes it clear how victims should be responded to. It makes it clear how this isn't just an internet issue. It isn't just thinking about it after the fact and how victims must be seemingly visibly to be very distressed. It sends a clear message that this isn't okay. That people have a right to privacy and sexual expression, and that we need to be aware of that and we need to take account of that. So, yeah, I think it's really important.
And is there need for more legislation and policy in place around consent in general?
I think absolutely. I think this legislation is really important. Again, this legislation is obviously focused more on adults, as it should be. But I think society-wide, we need more policies around consent. We need to have more conversations around consent. We need to have more education around consent. And I think also that we need to think about how we think about our girls, our young girls, our young women. So there's a lot of pressure put on school-aged young women or young teen women to be both pure and sexy, and we blame them for anything that goes wrong. So we know whenever we think about sexting, and again, sexting is very broad. It can encompass consensual coercive and non-consensual sexting. And we do have to differentiate between those different elements. But we know that a minority of young people share intimate images, and of that minority, a minority experience harm. So the majority of the minority that exchange images, they do so consensually. But if something does go wrong, we place responsibility on young girls, we blame them and we shame them. And they shouldn't be responsible for protecting themselves against boys' seemingly uncontrollable urges. That's feedback that I get from the young people that I work with, that there's a lot of pressure on young women. And I think that law is fantastic that this is happening, but we also need to look beyond that and how we think about consent more generally and who we place the onus on for gatekeeping consent.
And what are some of the social pressures that you identified young people, particularly young women, face when it comes to sharing nude photos?
Well, I think, for starters, none of this happens within a vacuum. So as adults, particularly as adults who haven't grown up where this was a thing, we tend to think it's unpalatable. We take a hands-off approach. We resort to the just say no. And unfortunately, just say no isn't effective. It's much, much too simplistic. So this is something that is part and parcel of the culture that young people grow up in. And again, bearing in mind that only a minority of young people do exchange nudes. Now, in saying that, whenever nudes are exchanged, generally it's after a period of flirting. And of course, as a young person, you want people to fancy you. You fancy other people. So by us saying, don't do it, it's stupid, that's not really, it's not really beneficial for our young people as well. And I think the key message that I am getting from my young people, and I think that is really important, is that we need to be supportive. We need to know that if the worst does happen and one of our young people have images forwarded without their consent, they need to know that they can come to us and we can help them. Because quite often, whenever this does happen, one of the things that they're afraid to do is go to parents, teachers, older people, because they've been told not to do it. So they're really worried that not only has this happened and this image being shared, but also they'll get in more trouble for, you know, taking the image in the first place.
And the government has requested specifically for young people to submit responses to this amendment. Should they be inquiring into allegations of abuse that will potentially be made in submissions? And if not, how can young people go about disclosing experiences that they have faced?
So I think it's absolutely important that young people are included in this. They are the expert in their lives. And quite often we take a very top-down approach. We take the assumption that we as adults know better, but they're the ones that are living this day in, day out. So really, we should be taking our lead from them. And I think in terms of disclosing, you know, if this has happened or any sort of image-based sexual abuse, there are some very, very good people out there that will help. So, for example, there's Netsafe, there's Sticks and Stones, Rainbow Youth, Youthline, Shakti Youth. So there are a number of organisations as well. And I think it's important that government and all of us really engage with those organisations so we're supporting our young people. At the end of the day, they're helping us with this legislation. Their input is so important, but we also need to be supporting them as well.
And what will the consequences of this bill be for young people if it is passed?
So I think the consequences will be more symbolic rather than legislative. So we know that young people under 14 can't be charged under the Harmful Digital Communication Act. Now, they can be brought to court on a civil matter, but they can't be charged criminally. But I think, again, it sends the message that this is not okay, that this isn't just something that we can do either for, you know, so-called revenge or for a laugh or for a bonding activity. It's something that's not okay. You know, everyone has the right, as I say, to privacy and to sexual expression. So I think it makes it a lot easier to open up these conversations and talk about it and talk about, you know, what's okay, what's not, what consent looks like. I know for a lot of my young people, they talk about consent. The term consent is rarely used. They talk about it in a very permission-seeking, permission-granting way, whereas we know that consent is a process. It should be an enjoyable process. So I think it's really just understanding what that means. I think one thing at the new bill I would really like to see that I think is crucially important is we talk about what happens if images, intimate images, are shared non-consensually. But there's also the threat of sharing those images as well. And for a number of people, threat can be just as bad as the actual posting of the images. And this is a well-established and recognised pattern in controlling relationships or within intimate partner violence as well. So I think it's dealing with not only the posting of the images, but the threat of doing so as well.
And how can young people stay safe and be informed about these issues?
I think, obviously, through sex education, really important. But I think also it's just kind of normalising these conversations and making them okay to have. In terms of how young people stay safe, I think it's being aware of the context in which these images are shared. And rather than all our focus being on young women to protect themselves, which we tend to do, we also need to be talking to our boys as well about how, you know, it's not okay to share these images. And even things like if you receive an image of someone that you weren't expecting. So we know sometimes that these images are shared in WhatsApp groups, for example. You know, deleting that image, you don't forward it on. That's not a good thing to do. So, yeah, I think that we need to really just be talking about it a lot more. And rather than taking the approach that it's not going to happen, it should never happen, we need to be realistic that it is happening, but dealing with it and working with it and working with our young people.
And is there anything else that I haven't mentioned that you wanted to talk about?
So the young people I've been working with, so the last 5 years or so I've been travelling around New Zealand, working with young people and some older people, and I'm trying to gain insights into their understanding of sexual media in their lives. So this could be watching porn or sending nudes and the impact on their relationships as well. And it's been great. They have been amazing. And quite often whenever I hold groups with them, I barely make it out alive because there's so many questions and we always run over time. And I think that they're dying to talk about these issues. And I think sometimes we're a little bit reluctant. And I understand that it can be awkward, but just kind of making it normal, making it okay, and letting them know if something like this does happen, either to themselves or maybe friends, that there are things that we can do to try and alleviate some of the worry and the concern.
And that was Dr. Claire Meehan speaking on why we need more discussions about consent in regards to young people.